Coming up, we're finally not doing a pre-recorded show, so that means we're actually talking about news that is current as well as really old. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 187 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com for your no-obligation quote. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams. I'm joined alongside by my co-host. You know him mostly as Rhino Clavin. Whoa, I did not turn your mic on.
Hello.
So then you're also going to wonder, well, how did you do a microphone check if his microphone wasn't on?
Well, we sure didn't.
Nope, we sure didn't. We just rolled with it and pretended like we did. So thank you for being here today, Rhino. So it's been a really, really difficult getting us in the same room at the same time. Rhino was on vacation for 2 weeks. I was then on vacation for a week. So, yeah.
And now I'm on vacation for a week. Yeah, I wasn't on vacation. Did you say I was on vacation?
You were working.
I was working. Vacation. I'm going on a real vacation this Thursday to Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Except for when I need you to work, then you know. But work. That's fine. We'll talk about that. Yeah, it's we're like the underpants gnomes. It's always about working, and you don't understand that reference because you don't watch South Park.
No, okay, I was confused.
I'll show you clips after the show, or we'll do a hard pause right here. And okay, now we're back. No. So it's all good though. So thank you for bearing with us past couple weeks while we had a little bit of fillers for you there. And I did see one comment where people said, can you please stop being so hard on yourself when you have filler episodes, saying how terrible they're going to be and stuff? Because then I feel bad when I actually enjoy the episodes. So I apologize for that. You know, I'm just hard on myself with it because I wish we could give more each week, but sometimes it's just not possible. And then we have weeks like this where it's just going to be flat out insane. So we have a lot to cover this week. On top of that, Rhino and I are literally going to leave here from recording this and head over to Universal Orlando to see Universal's Aventura Hotel for the very first time. And the day this is released, I will actually be staying there. Rhino will not. So we're going to have kind of a joint coverage. So we're gonna mix our coverage for next week's show. It's going to be kind of a mixture of my time there, staying at the hotel alone, reviewing it, and then Rhino will also be in there for portions where we talk about our preview of it too, so that way you get some of his thoughts, because obviously we're going to walk in, we're going to see parts of it, we're gonna experience a little bit of it, but he just won't be able to give us that in-depth review of cuddling in the beds and all that goodness like I'm
not
going
this
to
time.
No, not this time. But we will in the future. We just have to mark the date that we're going to do it, but we are planning on doing it soon. But like I said, we have a lot of news to get over, and so I'm going to jump in right away with a quick one, but a good one. So dates were released for Universal Orlando's Mardi Gras 2019. So they were released about a week ago or so from when this is being released, and it will be, surprisingly, at the same time of year that it is every year.
Curveball.
Right? February 9th to April 4th, it'll be back right at Universal Studios Florida, as always. The parade is going to be nightly, as they've done it. So if it's been years since you've done Universal Mardi Gras, it's no longer just on the weekends. It's every single night from February 9th to April 4th. But then, of course, they'll have on the weekends, they'll have a specialty acts come in and hit the Universal Music Plaza stage. We always talk about the artists, who they're going to be. So hopefully they get some big names this year. We don't know any of them yet as of now, but yeah, there'll be big artists coming to play for Mardi Gras. They'll have the French Quarter Courtyard with all of the Cajun food and King Cake and all the goodies. And they'll have bands right from New Orleans come out and play and hype up the crowd. So it'll be good. And the best part, as always, is that it's completely free with your park ticket for the day or your annual pass. So you don't need any extra admission ticket for this party. Just show up and enjoy the festivities as long as you have a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. I like this time of the year. Usually in that February time period, even though most people associate winter with December, January, in Florida, it's pretty much February is when it's like at its peak best weather. So I love this time of year. Nice. Give you get out, see the parade while it's a little cool outside.
Yeah, wear a fun hoodie or a nice jacket. Yeah.
Because then, unfortunately, by the time April rolls around and you're like, well, Mardi Gras was 2 months ago. Why are we still celebrating it? By that point, you're also then sweating your balls off. So unless you don't have those, then you'll be sweating off something else.
Yabos, as Allison calls them.
Yes.
Allison. Or Willie Max calls him. Kiss me, okay. Kiss me, I'm Allison. I think you're going to have to probably edit these two parts out, I hope.
Oh, no, I'm not. So it's we're universal. We're edgy.
Oh, good. I regret saying that word. I apologize if I've offended anyone.
Yabos? But Max loves her yabos.
It was in a PG Disney movie. I should be allowed to say it.
Yes, if anything, I should edit it out for you bringing up Hocus Pocus when we're talking about Universal. And, well, you brought up Halloween. We're obviously gearing up for the Halloween season, so that will roll us right into our slate of all of the Halloween Horror Nights houses that have been released since we've done a show. And I mean, we're talking almost a month back at this point. So that's the downfalls of when we go on vacation and stuff. We really miss out on some of these announcements. So the one that was released right at the end of July, which I got very excited for right away. I think a lot of people out there are really hyped for it. It's a new original house from Universal Orlando, and it is called Carnival Graveyard Rust in Pieces. So I'm going to, as I always do, I'm going to read from the Universal Orlando official blog's post about it to give you the description of it because, well, they said best themselves. So the pieces and parts of multiple carnivals have gathered and left to rot. Bright colors turn to rust, cotton candy decays, and fun houses cave in. The caramel-coated carnivals of yesteryear have long died, but something sinister has festered within the decay. Welcome to Carnival Graveyard Rust in Pieces at Halloween Horror Nights, where all trespassers must pay with their life.
So what's the scary thing?
Well, ride parts have become instruments of torture, and walls have been painted in the blood of those foolish enough to enter. These carnies won't stop until had their fun-filled revenge. The Twisted House of Terrors is the next installment in 10 haunted houses in our lineup for Halloween Horror Nights 2018. They've announced three more since this one, so ignore that last part there. But yeah, so we're going with the old it's a carnival that's been broken down, decaying, as they've said in all their descriptions. It's going to be sinister, and there's going to be carnies who have kind of gone mad from what I can tell with it. I'm very, very anticipating this because I love the idea of an old, abandoned, rotten carnival.
Yeah, it sounds terrifying to me.
I know. It sounded... And then I started to think, why do I like the sound of this so much? And then I realized it's because I loved it at Not Scary Farm last year when we went and did Dark Ride, which was essentially...
Oh, yeah.
Like your classic stupid little spook house dark ride that you'd see at small carnivals and stuff that was all broken down and long forgotten and just really creepy. But so I think I love the idea of the concept. I'm not saying Halloween Horror Nights and Universal Orlando is ripping off that idea. I don't think that's an original idea to begin with. But it's also that was like still had bright colors in it. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was goofy. Like they still had this dragon inside from the attraction that it was. This is obviously going to be more on the scary, gross side of things.
Yeah.
So you don't like carnies?
I don't. Carnivals in general make me nervous.
Why?
I don't know. The traveling folk, you never know what's going to happen.
Small hands smell like cabbage. Smell like
Austin Powers sphere in there for me.
Yeah. So this is a little bit lower down on your list then.
I'm it's going to make me scared, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's one of those, like, it's basic. Not basic. I was okay, this isn't as basic as one of the other ones they announced. It's not basic, basic. Yeah. But it could be, it could be, it could end up being the scariest one. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for me,
like rust. Rusty spoons.
I agree with that. I think for me, this house, even though everything about it to me says like claustrophobic, like exactly what you said, it's all rusty, it's all gross, you kind of feel trapped in this place. I want to see the opposite, though. I want to see...
I was hoping it'd be a big open
wide
tent.
Open. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see a concept like that where you can see around a lot like, and I know
that was like the Dark Ride. Yeah. Cause you, in the end you went into that big room and I remember being like, this is a lot scarier than I thought a tiny room would have been.
And but I could even use like a blend of that. It doesn't, it can have its moments. Like I just in general, like the whole color aesthetic of it screams to me like Scarecrow from last year, which was a standout house, just absolutely amazing. So I think this one does have the potential to be absolutely terrifying. And it may be because it has the rust in pieces after it. It could be a house that they redo throughout the years in different forms. This one's rust in pieces. Next one's another fun pun. Who knows? It could be good. But we'll move on to the one that you just kind of hinted at. That will probably be a little bit. What was the word you didn't say basic?
Basic.
Oh, yeah, you did say basic. Yeah. Okay. Well, what's that one called, Rhino?
Seeds of extinction. I couldn't remember the first part of it. This one's all. I mean, you're gonna read the thing in a second.
So
I'll just let you do that rather than me saying what it is.
What would it be like to live in a post-apocalyptic wasteland overgrown with invasive vegetation and the human race wiped from existence?
It'd be like living in Florida like this time of year.
You'll find out in Seeds of Extinction. So, in this original story, a cataclysmic meteor has struck Earth, causing humans to become extinct and something monstrous to take root. The virulent
say it either when I had to read the story in the Daily Fix. I was like, I don't know what that word is.
I didn't either. The growth has swept across the planet, covering everything and choking out civilization within moments, creating a tableau of what once was. What appears to be a lush and green graveyard hides the most terrifying and hungry meat eaters. Predatory plants of all species use strangling vines, razor sharp thorns, and poisonous pollens to encroach from all sides if you invade this new world. And keep an eye out for hidden hints and nods to Halloween Horror Nights past event years. So, I forgot about this in the article because it's been so long since I read it. From Curse of the Lightning Gulch right there. And then Jack and Eddie's. So, of course, Jack the Clown is in there. Hopefully, I'm putting these photos up on top of it. Otherwise, this really doesn't make any sense to it. And you're just listening to me talk about it. Well, if you're listening. Clearly, it doesn't. You have to seek this one out. But did you ever, what was the name of the movie that came out this past year based on the book, the Southern Reach trilogy?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I went to look for it the other day. I thought it was highlighted on Netflix, but it was Extinction. It was the wrong movie. And I was like, ugh.
This one sounds very similar to Annihilation. To me. So if you saw that this year, you know, it's the Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson vehicle that came out based on the book series that I said, the Southern Reach trilogy. And there
don't tell me anything.
Okay. I won't say anything.
If you've seen the previews, you've seen the previews. Otherwise that's that. It looks like nature. It reminds me of The Happening too, a little bit. Like it kind of gives me that vibe, like that was the grass trying to kill people. But it seems very like I'm gonna go into a Honey I Shrunk the Kid playground from Hollywood Studios and it's gonna try and kill me, which that one tried to do anyway. So it's like gonna be a lot of grass, a lot of mutant plant things. It just feels very basic. I'm not disliking it. It sounds what I like is it's very different from everything else they've announced so far too.
It absolutely is different, and I think you're absolutely right. It is a mixture between Annihilation and The Happening. Like, that's what it sounds like, at least on paper. And part of the story when they released it, they have one of the designers clearly having like a plant-like creature on her hand that will clearly be a puppet. Yeah. Form, like not a full size puppet, not like American Werewolf in London. Sorry, I wanted to say Paris just because Rhino and I joke about that one all the time. But it, kind of like a hand puppet. So I'm expecting life size plants that will come out
like
to scare you.
Twisted, the scene in Alice in Wonderland where she meets all the flowers, like yeah. A twisted version of that, essentially.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. My problem is that doesn't sound scary to me.
No. I mean, the thorns and the thing, it just sounds like, that's why, maybe that's what I mean, like, when I think basic. It doesn't, It doesn't have a lot to it. But we could be wrong. I don't know yet. You know, it could just be one that's hard to hype.
Yeah, it has the potential, in a way, to be a very beautiful house. I will say that, just thinking about it. I can, anytime, like, there's, I think about in theme parks, when you see, like, green areas that then they bounce the light off of it. A lot of like blues and purples adds a weird aesthetic to it. I'm not saying that this is what's going to happen in this house, but usually in those forms, like it can be a very, very cool aesthetic. So there's definitely a chance that this one could be beautiful, very interesting, but the concept doesn't have me frightened at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. So. No.
I mean it's just one of those where I'm like, okay, well, that's another house.
I look forward to this one surprising me because of my expectations for it are so minimal.
I think they're gonna do the trick where they do all the vines hanging down like they did with Scarecrow, and then the Dust Bowl one. Or was the Scarecrow during the Dust Bowl? I think that's
Scarecrow
what it was.
Was Dust Bowl.
You know, and they had all the vines hanging down. So I imagine we're going to go through like that. And how Scarecrow had a lot of the cornfield.
Oh, I could.
Idea.
I could even see Scare Actor like swinging from vines with like the puppets on its hand and like a big vine creature. And you know, it's going to end, of course, with Seymour. Or Audrey too. Sorry,
yeah, I was just a Rick Moranis lookalike singing to us on the outside. Scared, yeah.
Well, now I want that. You go through the whole thing, you find out the only survivor was Rick Moranis.
He survived the apocalypse. He knows how to get away from those meteors.
Oh, there's potential there for that. So we'll have to flesh that one out on our own. I think that's a Warner Brothers property, so maybe we can get them to do that for their new nighttime experience
in Hollywood.
That they're doing. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. So, two more houses to go over that were announced. Actually, both of these ones were leaked a little bit early. Someone, I apologize, I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now, but someone was staying at one of the offsite properties right near Universal and noticed that one of the displays had advertisements for two houses that weren't currently announced.
Oh, that's funny.
And, yeah, it was pretty comical. So it was pretty much just announced right away because of that. So
I'm pretty excited for the one you're about to talk about.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the first one that they announced afterwards, after this little leak came out, and that is...
Yeah, it was the day after Seeds of Extinction, they said Poltergeist.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's cool. Because it's funny, because Poltergeist is like the movie I've been trying to watch the last two Halloweens that I just never get to.
The remake, clearly?
Both. I have only seen pieces. I can only remember pieces of the original. Like, I remember the bulldozer in the lawn in the front yard and stuff. And I remember when the lightning storm is happening, and she's counting and sitting in front of the TV. And I remember Craig T. Nelson yelling a lot. And I remember the lady saying, "This house is clear. Clean. Clear? Clear." And so I wanted to watch that back-to-back with the remake for like 2 years now, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't. So now I'm like, I definitely have to.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the remake either, which I really like. Jared Harris.
And Sam Rockwell is in it too.
Yeah, I
love Jared Harris.
Yeah, I really, really love that. But luckily for us, this one's going to be based, because the whole event has its 80s theme to it, this one is going to be based on the actual 82 Poltergeist, which that's, I think that is the absolute right move to go to. Then again, I just admitted I haven't seen the remake, so I can't really say whether or not that would have translated well into a house. But the Poltergeist is, it's just a classic. Classic scary movie. So it's one of those ones, it terrified me as a kid, not as much anymore as an adult, but like you, it's probably been a hot 3-4 years since I've watched it.
Well, it was they were always randomly on USA in the afternoon for some weird reason, so I'd like turn on the TV and be like, what am I watching here? And it was never the first one, it was always one of the later ones, and I knew because it had the woman in it, psychic who comes in, and like I remember things coming through like puddles and parking lots and all this other things, and I'm like, good Lord, this is terrifying. Like, so you know, I'm excited. It's kind of cool because the movie's about a haunted house essentially, in another dimension, so it's like kind of, it immediately is like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do this, you know, the TV, are we going to walk through the TV, or are we going to do whatever, you know.
Well, and it's been featured in a Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors episode, so basically from what we've learned is that anytime a movie that the Simpsons have already parodied in Treehouse of Horrors comes to life, then we know it's going to be good, just like when they did The Shining. But that's just my benchmark for it. If the Simpsons do it, Halloween Horror
Night. You want to get sued? The Shining.
I love that so much.
Do you want to get sued?
The sad part is we're the only two who find ourselves.
That is my favorite. That is probably my favorite Halloween, the Treehouse of Horror episode. Yeah. And it ties to Universal these days, too. Well, I guess Disney now, but whatever.
Well, you know, well...
In between.
Yeah, it's all relative. But no, I think this was a great move, so I don't know how the general public feels about Poltergeist. I don't know if it's a big grab in terms of getting people to come in. Like, last year, having The Shining, that's a name. Like, that's The Shining. Everyone knows The Shining. Everyone's seen it if they're a fan of horror. I'm not sure. Has Poltergeist legacy really lived on?
I think it's like a name you hear and you know it. You know, like, it's not like Child's Play or you know, Chucky or Jason 13th. Or, yeah, any of those things, because they're the slasher films of the 80s that have a singular character that travels through. Whereas, like, Poltergeist is a little more surreal, I guess, or existential almost, you know, or not existential, that's not the right word, but you know, so it's, other than the woman who was the psychic, it doesn't really have like a, I guess it doesn't have that same type of thing, you know. It's like a scary movie. I think it's still like, if you're a person who enjoys horror movies, you know, this is like a, we gotta see it, you know.
I love it.
Stevie Spielberg, come on.
I love it, but we'll have to see if that's enough to draw people in. I mean, they've already announced enough out there. So with Stranger Things, that's the hot ticket item.
Didn't Joe Johnston direct Poltergeist? Somebody.
Yes.
I was going to say somebody, because I know Steven Spielberg produced it, and it was somebody he's friends with.
Yeah, Joe Johnston directed that. And then Joe Dante did Gremlins and
Jumanji.
Yes.
And Jurassic Park 3.
Yes.
No. Joe Dante. I was thinking Joe Johnston. He did Jurassic Park 3 and Captain America are the same director. Joe Dante did do Gremlins and Poltergeist. You are correct. I was getting two people merged into one.
I think I was too.
Actually, so I'm going to just check that real quick since we brought it up. And Universal is all about movies, so.
Yes, except we're also about getting movies wrong. And that's where I want to step in. And someone actually thought that I didn't realize that there was a 1933 King Kong movie. Because I guess the way I said it when we were talking about it.
You did reference the 70s one.
But that was the basis for the attraction.
Yeah.
Was the 70s King Kong. And I obviously know that the 33 King Kong is a thing. And we even talked about it. We talked about RKO. I know that there was an original King Kong. And the 70s one wasn't. But the ride was based off of the 70s one. So that's just thrown in there like that.
It was actually Toby Hooper that directed Poltergeist, who directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg wrote the screenplay along with Michael Grant. I remember that because it was originally supposed to, like, E.T., this is how E.T. started, and they split, like, into two films, and one was Poltergeist. And so I could have sworn it was the same guy who did the other one, but yeah, Tobe Hooper.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No freaking
way. Yeah, that's so weird. I would have thought, I know Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like the big one, but I thought, I would have thought Poltergeist would have been like this guy did Poltergeist.
I completely agree with you. Wow.
I just think it's interesting because Steven Spielberg has the history with Universal, so it's kind of cool that at Halloween Horror Nights we have this property that Steven Spielberg had a big influence on.
Yep. Oh, I agree with you. So, and so we already mentioned with Poltergeist, talking just briefly there on how iconic it is as a movie to draw people in. Well, back in 2014, Universal...
Joe Dante did direct Gremlins. Yeah. We were correct about that.
I know that for sure. When it comes to Gremlins trivia, I'm on my game on Gremlins trivia. So... I only watch it like 3 times a year. But I mean, that's how I feel it's necessary.
It's great.
Yeah, it is. So I mentioned in 2014, in terms of iconic characters and iconic films, Universal Orlando decided to do Halloween. So based on
Earlier.
And then, this was just released today. This was the other one that was leaked early. Based on the posts that went around on the Twitter. And
well, you know what's weird is they're skipping a Halloween. Never mind. Yeah. I know why.
So, and then, of course, in 2016, we had Halloween 2, but we called that house Halloween, Hell Comes to Haddonfield. And then this year, 2018, so I like the progression we're going with here, we have Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. So, as Rhino just pointed out, yes, they are skipping Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which I'm...
Season of the Witch!
Yeah, if only. I'm gravely disappointed about that. I love Halloween 3. Just everything about it. Silver Shamrock, snakes coming out of the body. Like, it's just... Have you watched it?
Halloween 3?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God. You're missing out.
I've seen Halloween 4. I know that for sure. But I have not seen the third one. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen the original one. And I am definitely watching it because I'm super excited for the new one. I mean, I remember pieces of it, so I must have seen it. But it's like not since I was a kid. And that was the thing. It was one of the ones I didn't get to that year when the house was here.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis, so that's why I'm like, I'm super excited for that new Halloween movie coming out. Yeah. And I like that they're kind of tying this... Not tying it into it, but it's nice that the property's there when it's going to be in the theater as well.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, it would have been great to have the new house being represented at HHN, but that wasn't in the cards this year for whatever reason it is itself. But I like this. I like that they're going through all the Halloween movies in order, skipping 3 because it doesn't feature Michael Myers at all. He is not a part of it. It is a separate story. It was supposed to break off into an anthology piece of sorts, and it didn't go well because it's just truly, truly awful and offensive to so many people, including the Irish. It's just it's really, really amazing in every way, and I highly recommend seeking it out and watching it if you can. So if you wait for it to come on TV when they do like the Halloween marathons where they start at the original Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis and go all the way through, you know, hitting classics like H2O and even sometimes going through that. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. I was trying to say you will notice all the time it will go Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween 4, and then so on. They always, always, always skip it. And
well, if you're the new Halloween movie ignores all sequels.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to watch some of the sequels probably to like be in tune with this house. It's about the niece, the fourth one. I remember that.
Yeah, no, you absolutely have to watch the fourth Halloween movie in order to get this. It is going to be based right on it. Michael Myers he's just picking up his story. So just like the last house with Halloween, Hell Comes to Haddonfield started at the very beginning of that movie and took it all the way through into the hospital. Expect the exact same thing from this one. It's going to pick up on that original story. So this is going to be one where I think you can still appreciate the house, even if you haven't seen any of the Halloween movies or Halloween 4 in particular. But come on, the first two houses were so well done in terms of translating the movies into the actual house themselves that you're doing yourself an injustice if you skip over it. I can see out of the corner of my eye, Rhino's looking at still images from Halloween 3.
Yeah, because I'm confused because the plot says it's about kids wearing a shamrock mask, but it's clearly a pumpkin.
Well, no, there's three different masks. So there's the pumpkin mask, there's the witch.
Oh, what the
heck? And then...
what's she doing? My thing is, so I get it. Are the masks turning people evil? Is that the plot of the third movie?
Well, yeah, I guess spoiler on a movie that's been out for over 30 years.
Just looking at the pictures, that's what it looks like. So my guess is they were trying to continue on to make more iconic masks beyond Michael Myers.
So the Silver Shamrock Corporation is like, it's one of those big companies that basically the town is there because the company is there, and they are creating all these masks that kids just want. They absolutely have to have their Silver Shamrock masks. And then on Halloween night, as they're watching the first Halloween movie on TV.
Oh, wait, it's like metaphysical? They are like,
tune in. You have to tune in. So, yeah, it is metaphysical in that way. And so they're going to tune into this moment where this Silver Shamrock commercial comes on, and at that point it's going to kill all the people wearing the masks.
All right, I have to watch this terrible movie. Oh.
Yes, you absolutely do. It's incredible. They did feature the masks in the first Halloween house, in the little section where they had the trick-or-treaters.
I thought so. Okay, because they all looked familiar. That's why I was like, oh. Yeah,
it is just so, so bad, though. I love it so much. so that's our... those are the four houses that have been announced since we've done the show. So add that on to everything else that's been announced so far, including Trick or Treat, Stranger Things, Dead Exposure, and gosh, I can't even remember them all. There's one more original house in there too.
The zombie Patient Zero, you said.
Yeah.
The vampire one? No, that was a scare zone.
Why am I not remembering it? It's not.
I was going to ask you how many have been announced now.
I think we're doing the rough math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, or 9.
So we still have a couple more reveals. So I can tell you in a second as soon as the page loads. But 1, 2, 3. Well, that didn't help me at all.
Yeah, that's a problem. They still haven't, until everything's announced on their website. It's not all easily accessible. And of course, I didn't prepare for this. And I was like, even then, I just had my camera on you the entire time, and I was not paying attention.
Cool. I was just looking at the computer.
What I was so doing.
Trick or treat.
Yes, we've already mentioned.
Oh, I thought you said, I didn't hear you say that one.
No. We've already mentioned
that. Okay, ready?
So.
Stranger Things, Dead Exposure, Trick or Treat,
Slaughter Cinema.
You got to it. Yeah, Slaughter
That's what
Cinema,
I was forgetting.
Carnival Graveyard, Seeds of Extinction, Poltergeist, Halloween. We have two left.
Yep. Yeah, it was Slaughter Cinema that I couldn't remember, which is a shame because we've talked about that one quite a bit, and I was very excited for that. And then the four scare zones were announced: The Harvest, Twisted Tradition, Vamp 85, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and Revenge of Chucky 5. I don't know why I just said four.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like the math is.
Yeah, you know what? It's because we're coming to the end of this episode, but we saved the boring one for last, and that is because it just kicked off yesterday, and it is yesterday as of recording this, couple days back from when this is released. We now are in UOAP Pass Holder Appreciation Days. Whoop,
whoop. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what is the Pass Holder Appreciation Days? Basically, it is running until September 30th, and this is just the time period where Universal wants to say thanks to all its annual pass holders. So the big kickoff is not... the big kickoff, it already kicked off, so it is, but the big event of this is the UOAP night. That's August 26th from 8 p.m. to midnight, happening at Universal Studios Florida. It's only going to be Universal annual pass holders there having a big party. That night is also when they are going to start giving away collectible buttons. There's going to be four collectible buttons for all of the Universal annual pass holders, and the one is exclusive to the event that's happening there. And the event could fill up technically. It did say that it's first come, first serve basis, but it's not like a reservation system or anything. You just go to the park that day and you can sign up once you're there. So, but there are only limited buttons as well too. So make sure you get those as quick as possible. Those are going to be given away at a couple of the guest service kiosks. I know the one is the Marvel guest service kiosk. The other one is the Men in Black one. So if you like buttons, free buttons, you need to jump on that.
Button. Who's got the button?
I don't know. There, it's also doing early admission. So, of course, if you have several tiers of early park admission, you're used to that on a normal basis. But now power and seasonal pass holders have early park admission into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter's, just like hotel guests do. And you have that through the end of pass holder days. And if you have the three-park pass, then you also have your Volcano Bay early entry. So that is a huge perk. There are lots of discounts happening out there for everyone during annual pass holder appreciation days. So we have the full list over at our website of stuff if you're a Universal annual pass holder. I'm not going to go on to it for too long because I genuinely know that most of you out there probably aren't annual pass holders that are watching, so I'm not going to bore you with it. But if you are, here's your reminder. It's happening right now. Don't forget about the party, especially on August 26th. I'm probably going to be there this time. I didn't get to go last year to the party. I went to the first year that they did an annual pass holder party over at Islands of Adventure. Had a great time just walking around, taking pictures, having fun. So hopefully I'll be able to go to this one. I will go, but hopefully I will be able to go, if that makes any sense. But that's it for all the news until I find out that something else happened, and then I'll just splice in myself talking about it real quick. I'm not going to. But thank you, Rhino, for having this discussion with me. Okie dokie.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And thank you out there to everyone who listened and watched this. We really do appreciate it. We do it for you. We always do it for
everything
you.
Everything I do, it for you.
Do for you. And I'll stand by you.
We went from Bryan Adams to the Pretenders.
Yeah, it felt right. It did. It just did.
I'll stand by you.
I will stand by you. Won't you stand by me? Whoa, stand.
Boom, boom, boom.
By me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, now we're done with that. If you need more information, sunplug.com. Home of the show,
it's like
notes
the end
for
of the
this.
Boom, boom, boom.
Show and all the others.
Boom, boom, boom.
On the Diz Unplugged Podcast Network, you'll find links to social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff like you do. Access to our email account. No, you can't access ours. You can.
Yeah. Here you'll find all of our social security numbers, our debit card information, anything you want.
You can find all that there. You can email us through that. UOPodcast@DizUnplugged.com. If you're watching this on YouTube...
That's what I think our fade out music should be from now on.
The sad part is most of the people stopped watching like 10 minutes ago, so there's just going to be a few people out there who are like, holy crap, the end of the show, how did you not watch all the way to there?
That serves them right. Yep,
it does. This is our appreciation to you out there who made it to the end. You just gotta giggle fit right now. YouTube.com/disunplugged. That's where you might be watching this.
I'm going to start doing time of the season if you don't finish soon.
Oh, goodness. I'm trying to get
through
it.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to us. You're hitting that thumbs up button, and you're leaving comments for us down below. If you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead, subscribe to us, and make sure you're rating and reviewing us as well too. So thank you once again to everyone out there for listening and watching. We do appreciate it. Make sure you tune into our Aventura Hotel coverage next week, as well as probably stuff that's been released on social media since then. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. But until then, remember, we still haven't changed the name.